Pleasure to be with you today, and we're going to trust that the Lord will give help as we, throughout the day, look at His Word and have opportunities to talk a little of the work over in Zambia as well. Now, I would like to read together with you in the Old Testament, in the book of Esther. Esther in chapter 4. What's on my heart today is three people in the closing of the Old Testament times who really did something that only they could do for God. God used different individuals for Him, and to challenge all of our hearts that we should live and live our lives for the Savior. Esther, please, in chapter 4. Now, I think we know the story, the context here, where the nation is about, the nation of the Jewish, of the Jews is about to be destroyed. And here comes some advice from Mordecai to Esther at verse 14. And he says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I and also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." Now, we'd like to read elsewhere, but we trust the Lord will bless what we have looked at. I wonder if you were to ask Esther if she realized that what she did affected the whole nation. Did she realize that everything was hanging in the balance for her to be obedient to God? For her to live for God? Well, you know, that probably could be said about all of us. We forget that each individual, God has a work for us to do. Something for Him. Now, here's a lady, and, you know, it was a crisis situation for the nation, but it was also a crisis situation for her. She might lose her life. She said, "If I perish..." Now, this was a real thing. She knew that if the king didn't hold out his scepter, she would die. But she says, after a time of prayer, and after committing the purpose for which she was going into His presence, committing it to the Lord, she said, "If I perish, I perish." And maybe we could put over it, if she perished, well, she at least did God's will. But you know, she didn't perish, and she worked a marvelous rescue of the people of that day. Now, I've just been enjoying the thought that, you know, many times we come to crisis situations and where we have a, do I do this or do I do that? We need to be like Esther and say, you know, I need time to pray. She spent 3 days. And then when she could see that this was God's way, well, you know, it doesn't matter if this is dangerous or if this is the end of my existence. I only need to do for God what He would like me to do. Now, I don't think this is something that we should look at as just theoretical. When I used to walk out the back door on my way to high school and university, there was a little text. Now, I'm sure my mother planned it to be there, but I know it was more than that. God put it there for a purpose. And the text said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Now, just think. You're going out the door. You've got an exam ahead of you, or you've got your life ahead of you. And the reminder, "But seek first the kingdom of God." I think we need that reminder every day, that the things of God are what really matter. So here is a lady who first of all realizes, you know, I'm here for a purpose. Now, I need to be sure that this is God's plan for me. So she spent time in God's presence. She said, "Now 3 days, I want you to fast with me." And then she was willing to give up everything for God. And I think every young person, every middle-aged person, every older person, perhaps every day we need to say, "Seek first." Yes, I should seek first the kingdom of God, and then God will preserve and keep. So here is a lady who made a difference because she risked her life for God. Now, I'd like to look over in Ezra for a second man, and then we'll try and a second person, and we'll try and tie these things together. In the book of Ezra, please, at chapter 7. Now, it's interesting that God had a lady there, a man over here, and another man. And it's interesting how He used them. Ezra and chapter 7. And I'd like you to look with me at verse number 9. "For upon the first day of the first month began he," that is Ezra, "to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Interesting. I would gather at this point, it's talking about Ezra as a young man, and pointing out the features of his life that God wanted to use. And what was that? Well, he recognized that God's hand was upon him, but it says about him, he had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Well, that's good. To spend time in the Word of God. But it doesn't stop there, does it? To seek it and to do it. A person who devoted his heart and his mind and his energy in the Word of God, but he put it into practice. And not only that, but he was then qualified to be able to teach it. Take God's Word and to teach it to God's people. Now, this is so important. A man whose life followed the pattern of God's Word, and so he was able to stand up before the people and teach God's Word. Now, I wonder if we've lost sight of the importance of the Word of God. If we turn over to the book of Nehemiah, it's interesting how there was a crisis situation and they called on Ezra. Nehemiah and chapter 8 at verse 1. The people are back in the land. They've just finished a work to prepare the city and to do the... Well, they've made a wall around it. And it says here, as they all gathered, chapter 8, verse 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now let's look at verse number 5. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit or a tower of wood, which they had made for that purpose. And it talks about those who were with him. Verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book. And verse 8, so they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. I don't know if you and I can appreciate fully what it would have been like to have, probably for the first time in their lifetime, the Word of God opened and read from, and they could understand it. You know, you and I are so used to having, well, we've got a Bible in our hands here. You probably have two or three at home. Maybe you have some on your computer. You might have one on your cell phone or your iPod or something like that. But you know, what would it be like if you didn't? You never had. And you had the privilege for the first time of hearing the Word of God. Well, that's what it was like. They must have been thrilled. It says they stood there the whole morning, listening. And it was clear. And not only that, if you look through the chapter, it just broke their hearts. There were tears as they realized, you know, we haven't kept this. And there was obedience as they said, well, we want to do it. You know, there had never been that Feast of Tabernacles since the days of Joshua. And they said, well, let's do it. A time of revival when God's word was clear. If I could say that our going up to Sakaji was a little bit like, you know, I'm not sure. I want to be sure. Pray. Well, our going away from Sakaji was just the same. We wanted to be sure that the Lord was leading. But what was really on our hearts was the need for God's word to be clear to his people. Now, I had been involved in previous times with the Lunda Bible Revision. And probably the last time I talked to you folks here, it was connected with the Lunda Bible. And that took 8 years, and we're very thankful to have in print the Lunda Bible, a revised with two columns and a text you can read, and took a lot of time. But you know, the language we speak is Luwali. And we've had the joy of sitting down with a group of about 15 of us and reading a passage and them saying, we don't really understand it. And we pray And we try and understand maybe what the English means. Perhaps we bring out some words from the Greek and some definitions, and we might look at a commentary or two. And then the brethren try and put it into the clearest and most accurate Lavalley they can. And somebody will say, well, yeah, you're getting close. And another brother says, yeah. And they keep trying. And half an hour goes by. An hour goes by sometimes, even longer. Trying to wrestle with this word. How can you get this word across? And they would say, you know, just give us the sense. And so you would go back into the chapter and try and give the background and really how the verse fit in. And they would say, now this word here, give us the meaning. And so you would struggle. And they say, well, you know, we have a word like that, but it has this meaning. And you would work. And then sometimes after an hour and a half, there would be one brother, and he'd say, well, how about this way? And he'd start to come out with it. And we'd all say, stop, stop, stop. And I would be typing down as fast as we could and trying to get it as he would. We feel that the Holy Spirit was leading him. And he was putting it down. Now, of course, there's often a refinement and just trying to make it a little bit clearer. But then somebody would read it out. And all of us would say, that sounds like God speaking Lavalley. Clear, accurate, God speaking to us. Now, that is the thrill of Bible revision, Bible translation. It's the thrill. To see something and as you hear it, it's clear. Many times as they look at our present Bible, they would say, you know, I can understand what they're trying to say, but we wouldn't say it that way. The very best missionary is still a foreigner. Now, the man who was involved back 60 years ago in the Lavalley Bible revision, a beloved man who up until his 96th year was still involved in writing the scriptures and writing dictionaries, and the depth of understanding he had of the Lavalley language, just tremendous. But to have our Zambian brethren saying it and you say, that's clear. And some of them getting excited and saying, I just can't wait to get home. And I'm going to preach on that one because God's spoken to me and he can use that word. Sometimes it's in the gospel and sometimes it's to edify the saints and sometimes it's to challenge us. God speaking clearly. And that's what it was in Ezra's day. I wonder about us today. Sometimes the Word of God can get so familiar, we've read that before, that we forget the excitement of hearing it for the first time. Now, there's still languages in this world where they don't have the Word of God. Even in Zambia, 73 different tribes. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you must mean different dialects, you know, like, you know, the Canadian English and American English. No, it's more like French and German and English. They're related. They're all from a base somewhere in Europe, but they're quite a bit different, aren't they? That's what it's like over in Zambia. Now, I can remember one time. And Eunice and I were reaching out into an area we'd never been to before, and we were struggling because it was a people that don't have God's word. They're using another language, a near related language that they learn in school, and we were speaking another language. We were speaking Luwali and they were Makoma. And so I could see that the ladies weren't really understanding. And so I decided, I'm going to try something here. And I started asking the men. And I had a whiteboard. And I wrote down what they said to me. I would say, what's the name for God? And I would write it in Luwali Kalunga. And they came back to me in their language for the name for God. And I put it over on the other side. And then I took love, because we were reading about God's love in John 3. And I put down love. How do you say love? And they gave me a word and I put it over there. And then I kept going through word after word, and suddenly one of the men stopped me. He waved his hands and he said, now people, do you know what's happening? That man is writing our language. It's the first time it had happened for them. Now, I only wrote it down as it sounded, because that's what you do in Africa. You write it as it sounds. But he was excited. The first time he had seen God's word, God's name, God's love in his language. You know, there's still people and they've never seen it. They've never heard the word of God clearly explained, the love of God, so that they could be challenged and put their trust in the Savior. There's still a need. Pray that God will send forth workers into his field. But you know, one of the things that we're needing everywhere is men and women who spend time in the Word of God. Use the resources. I have been introduced to some resources that we have today, where you can take a little mouse and hover it over top of a Greek word and out pops the definition and everything about that word. You know, it's in the passive, third person plural. Wow. I used to spend ages trying to remember those things, and they just pop out at you. And so as we're going through translation, I'm able to just wiggle it over top of there and then click on a dictionary, and up it comes with a definition. All of that's available. Young people, older people, are we using these resources to study God's word so that we can stand in front of God's people and say, this is what God is saying. That's so important. And that's what Ezra did. The people were attentive, and the people were affected as he spoke from God's word. Now, I must hurry because our time's running out. And I'm just going to go back in Nehemiah chapter 6 to verse number 15. Now, Nehemiah was a man who had a tremendous position in the empire. But he left everything and went out to a little remote province. And he started working with stones and bricks. And he made a wall. And verse 15 says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. Here's God saying, a man went out and he built a wall. And to God that was important. maybe it was a wall of separation. It's interesting if you look back in that chapter, Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 3, they're trying to get Nehemiah to leave the wall and the building and the stones and all the hard work for a meeting. And he answers, Nehemiah 6 and verse 3, I am doing a great work, and so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? That's a challenge to me and maybe to all of us. Here's a man who's left the court of the king of the empire. And he's looking at a little work for God in our estimation. You know, just dealing with a few rocks and building a little wall here way off in Jerusalem. And he says, I'm doing a great work. Now, it's not that he was saying, look at what I'm doing. He was valuing God's work. I'm doing a great work. Why should I leave it? Why should the work cease? Well, I go and talk to you. To me, there's a man who puts a value on doing something for God. Now, it might be a Sunday school class that you're teaching, or it might be preparing for a Bible study and contributing, or it might be setting up the chairs in the hall here, or going to visit those who need to be visited. But in God's estimation, it's not a little work. It's a great work. It's God's work. What we do for Him counts for eternity. And the question we can all ask is, how do we compare to these people of God in that day? There was an Esther who put God first. She saved the nation. No telling what you can do for God if you put Him first. There's an Ezra who put God's word in first place. And God worked. And there was a revival. No telling what we can do when we put God's work first. And then there's a Nehemiah. And he put doing something for God as first place in his life. And he completed the work for God. And God took note of it. May the Lord encourage our hearts to live for Him in a difficult day. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for Thy word that we've read together. We think of this day, help us to put the things of God, the Word of God, and the work of God in first place in our lives. We pray to bless the children who've been hearing the Word of God below, and bless us throughout the day, for we ask it in the Savior's precious name.